Okay, this is June 29th, and the topic this month was forgiveness, but tonight is questions and answers.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Such is the nature of life, that all it asks and all it wants. There's an opportunity to appear. You are that opportunity, and so am I. It is the purpose of this teaching to make us aware of this essential truth of our being. So I do hope that that's finally sinking into everybody's consciousness so that you can say to yourself, I am a god or I am a goddess. I am creating my life the way I want my life to be. It has nothing to do with the circumstances on the outside of life. It has to do with what you are doing with your consciousness on the inside of life. Everything is working from the inner to the outer. So what you have on the inner, you will see on the outer. So try to remember that. It's a difficult one to remember. Why? Because we live in this world. And what does this world teach us? We went back at the beginning of the month when we first started the idea of forgiveness and all. It's very difficult because we're already steeped in what we call the Hammurabi law, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. What is the other thing that we're conditioned from childhood right up? Suffering. Everyone believes they have to suffer. There's no such thing as suffering. That's a choice. If you want to suffer, please feel free to suffer, but it's a choice that you're making. This thing that we call God or this thing we call universe does not require you to suffer. I have so many friends, like my friend Doug the Baptist. He loves to suffer because he thinks he's going to have a higher station in heaven. And I always hate to, explain to him that there's no such thing as heaven. You know, I let him think those thoughts. Let him do what he wants. So, anyway, tonight, these little books were sent to me by a young man that came here, I think, at least twice. His name is John Mackey. He now lives in Chicago. When he ran across these, I read this book 40 years ago. It's a very, it's an antiquated book, but it's so good. So see what you think, read it, and see what you think. So we were talking at dinner. There are so many little things out there. You know, everyone wants to jump to what's new and modern and so forth. Say, Jerry reads Florence Shin, do you not? And she's antiquated, but she's right to the point. She's right. So is this right to the point at the same time. And this man, of course, was the founder of Temple University. So read it and see. What I'd like, you know, we have this. No one has anyone seen this before?
No, I've heard of it.
I've heard of it.
I'm from Philadelphia.
Oh, of course, and John Lautermaker. I love John Lautermaker's in the big organ.
Reach at the Eagle.
Yes, I used to. Oh, I love that place. We used to eat at Bookbinders.
Oh, my God. You're Philly?
I'm from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So, anyway, this is a staple, this book, if you're into metaphysics. The other staple that I have handed you and you should have in your collection is The Mental Equivalent by Emmett Fox. Mm-hmm. The other one that I told Paula at dinner tonight is, please see if you can get your hands on Wayne Dyer's Your Erroneous Zones. It's a very enlightening book. And he's a metaphysician, by the way. He just doesn't do science of mind, but he's a metaphysician. The other book that you want is... The Power of Positive Thinking by... who's that by? We'll think of it. Norman Vincent Peale. Absolutely. Those four books alone... You don't have to come to this class anymore if you understand that. But what I'm trying to say here is these older things hold up. They're absolutely true. And we keep jumping, somebody new came onto the market, so let's go see what he has to say. And then some of the new people that are writing, and the new writers and so forth, don't have a clue of what's going on. I just finished a book called Spirituality Without Religion by a man that's on the New York 10 bestsellers list. His name is Sam Harris.
Oh, yeah.
It's dreadful. He didn't say a damn thing in that book.
Did he anything?
Yeah, sort of.
He's
waffling back and forth. But I don't know how it ever got on the New York 10 bestseller list, because it was absolutely twaddle. It was. So, but these books that I mentioned, read, they will enlighten you. Start with Norman Vincent Peale and move up to Wayne Dyer. Do those things for your own self. It's enlightening. That erroneous zones, I read that 40 years ago or more. It was opened my eyes completely. So I was stupid and dumb then, and looking at the world completely differently. And thinking that the world was a horrible place to live and all. I had no idea that I could control my thinking. I had no idea of any of that stuff. But those books helped me. And then, of course, I got interested in religious science. More science of mine. I don't know what they call it now. They keep changing the name. It confuses me to no end. It's all the same thing. It's a wonderful philosophy. And it's a philosophy that you can live with. It makes sense. You know, it's not a mystery religion. All mystery religions ask you to give up your mind. Let somebody else do the thinking. You see, that's what mystery religions are, you know. This god was born from a swan or something like that. I mean, you know. But it always has to be a virgin birth, by the way. Like Christianity had to come up with Mary in order to have a virgin birth. There's no such thing as a virgin birth. It doesn't work. You know? It doesn't work that way. And I'm not putting that down or anything. If you want to believe that, please feel free to believe it. My philosophy is, if it makes you feel good and it's getting you through life and getting you what you want, then do it. So that you do not suffer. You do not think that this is a horrible world and life is just a birth certificate and a death certificate. There's much, much more. And these little books, the older people who wrote them, knew what they were doing, you see. And then we got too, I think sometimes they get too sophisticated, you see. And we think, oh, well, I have to be really sophisticated to be able to do this. Or I have to be use large words and a big vocabulary and all that to get it across. And that has nothing to do with it, you know. Back to Doug the Baptist. He wouldn't know. And he was in the metaphysics. I drug him there. But he doesn't know how to do a treatment, which is fine. You don't have to know how to do a treatment. All he says is, God, this is what I want. And he usually gets it. He has that much faith. It's John done with faith. Pardon?
John the Baptist?
John. I read Doug the Baptist. John. This is John who gave us that. He's not a Baptist.
No, you were talking about your friend John the Baptist.
Doug the Baptist.
Oh.
He's the one. Yes. Doug. But he gets along in life, you see? And he knows how to do it. And it's done with your belief system, people. That's what this is all about. I had, in fact, I used Jerry's name, asked me a question over the telephone about treating and so forth. You know, I've explained this to you before. There are either 5 steps to treatment or 7 steps to treatment. Do I know them? Not offhand. I've studied them. I know that they exist, and I know that you can use that. But that's only, those steps are only there to organize your thinking. Once you have your thinking organized, once you have a belief system going, you can go out and say, God, this is what I want. This is what I want. You don't have to go through all that. Jerry's question was about manifesting and so forth. You must always see the finished product. And that's why in the Bible it says you must look on the field that the harvest is already there. You never look at a barren field and think, oh, well, look, that's barren. You look at it as the harvest is already there. You see? So when you want something, a car, money, whatever, you must see it already done. You know, that's the way this system works. So, anyway, now I'm open for questions. Anyone have a question?
Well, if I remember the story of Acres of Diamonds correctly, sorry about the spoiler, but like one of the tenets of it is that like you don't have to go anywhere to get what you want. What you have is already right at hand.
It's bloom where you're planted.
Yeah, but as an actor, you know, I've always thought about that because I've read this book before. Is that like you come to Los Angeles to pursue acting as opposed to staying where you grew up?
Well, it's easier for you to become an actor in Los Angeles, and thank God you moved to Los Angeles and not Anchorage, Alaska. Very few acting jobs are in Akron or in Alaska, you know, Anchorage, Alaska. So you made the right choice to come with the thing, you know, where it's going on. But you're blooming where you're planted, aren't you now?
Sure.
All right. That's what counts. Jerry?
Oh, no, I'm just trying to formulate a question on the topic of forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not quite there yet, but I was just thinking on the concept about, like, on the thing about that what, because I'm in it for myself, really, you know what I mean?
That's all right.
I forgive people. I'm always thinking, you know, if I forgive them, I'm getting forgiveness back.
Absolutely. You know? It's always that. If you forgive, you are forgiven. That's exactly. And it's always about you. Don't worry about other people.
Yeah. So I was just wondering, what you already talked about. I was going to ask you to talk about that. But you just did so.
Do you understand it now?
I do. I understand it. In my everyday life, though, I don't know that I understand it sort of in my core being, necessarily.
Keep thinking about it and it'll go to the core.
Huh?
Keep thinking about it and it'll go to your core.
Yeah.
Okay. This topic, I told you, I have difficulty with forgiving. I have difficulty with it. But I make myself do it. Because I'm benefiting from it. I'm the one that's getting the benefit.
How do you make yourself do it? You just keep talking to yourself?
Yes. You keep talking to yourself. We're always convincing our mind. And we must convince it that this is what we want. You see. The mind does not like to forgive. Oh my goodness, no. It wants to hold every grudge, every slight, everything that's ever happened to you, it wants to hold. And you must let all that go and just forgive, you know. I'm to a point in life where I look at life and say, so what? This happened, that happened. I'm not going to hold anything against anyone or against life at this stage. I'm not going to do it. You usually have a question, Astra. Yeah, you usually have a question.
Well, you know, I've wanted to change the way I live for a long time, and little has happened.
What?
So I'm wondering, like, can I practice visualizing? And I know you have to match the feeling with it. Sometimes I can see wonderful things taking place, but inside it's like...
But you have to look at... You have to change your inside, and only you can do that. You can come to this class and hear me talk, and spout out all this stuff, but then you must take it and do something with it. And when you want to manifest something, remember in this teaching they have that clever little line that says treat and move your feet. You must do something after you do the treatment.
Yeah, I think that I show up. I mean, I really see myself as, you know, just a frame without anything inside. And then, you know, I'm not present. I know I'm not,
Well, that's a wonderful visualization to see your frame and so forth. Now, paint in there what you want. With your mind, you paint in the stuff that you want.
Uh-huh.
You start to see yourself in a different
I think
lifestyle.
Emotional, though, you know, I see myself as, like a stick figure without anything. I'm not vested or invested in what's going on. I'm going to bed.
Well, I think that's...
Wake me up when I'm dead.
I think we call that escapism. Life is all around you. And you have to deal with
it. It's so hard to become vulnerable and say, I don't mind this.
But you have to say to yourself, I don't like this. I want something better.
Yeah.
And your mind will do it. Your mind is a servant, people. It will serve you. But you have to tell it what you want. If you had an employee and they didn't do anything because you didn't tell them what to do, that's like your mind is your employee. Tell it what you want. Yes.
So if you want something, it's not about being practical and thinking, well, you know, maybe I shouldn't do that and do something else and kind of settle in a way. If think about the things you really want. You don't have, I mean, you can't like want, you know, have lists circling you of all the things. You have to pick and choose.
Who told you that? Your parents told you that, didn't they? Pick one or the other. You can have this, but not that. Just pick one of the group. You can't have all 12 items. You can only have one today.
But you can have
all 12. You're not taking anything away from anybody when you want all 12. You're certainly, God's not saying, oh, look how greedy that person is. You know, I was watching something, and I don't know what it was, and they were talking, well, God wanted to, I thought, you people are idiots. God's not watching every little move that you make, although God knows every little move. But you can ask for those things. You're saying, ask for what you want. You're afraid and timid. But you're doing so well, your business is doing well. So, keep adding to that business. Keep adding to your mind. Say, look what I've created here. You know, and be grateful. That is the key to everything, people, is to be grateful. Not to God, just be grateful. God doesn't need anything from you. God doesn't need anything from you. Be grateful and God will really like me. No, God likes you just the way you are. But you will see things happen in you when you're grateful for everything that comes into your life. And you start to get warm and you start to love life and you start to love yourself. That's the way that one works. But all these things we're conditioned as children. We're conditioned in this world. You can't have that. You can't do this. You can't. You can do anything, and you can have anything. But first, you have to build a mental equivalent and see yourself having all those things, and know that you can have all those things. There's nothing wrong with having all those things, and you're not a greedy person for wanting all that. See, but your mind tells you, oh, now wait a minute, that's too much. You must tell the mind to shut up. God wants you to have everything. The universe wants you to have everything. The more you have, the more will be given unto you. Do you remember that little saying from the Bible? He who has will get more. Meaning, has what? Faith, a mind, intelligence, all that, and all else will be added unto you. Do you have a question, young lady?
No.
Darn.
I do have a question. Have you read Conversations with God?
Yes. Only the first one. I liked it. Then he went 2, 3, and 4. I met him once.
Another one too.
Donald
Walsh.
Yeah, Donald Walsh. I met him in Arizona. The rest of them I didn't like.
How come?
Well, I thought, you know.
You got it in the first one?
Yes. Yes.
Quit while you were ahead.
How many conversations do you want with God?
Every minute.
Yes, but the first one was enough. Then he has to write another one. Then I get skeptical because I think, well, it's money. You know, he makes a lot of money writing this book. And there's nothing wrong with that. And the first one I thought was a delight.
Because Wayne Dyer's been writing forever.
Oh, yes, but he's changed. Therapist, what is he, a psychiatrist or something. He's grown from that erroneous zones up to, he meditates, he does everything. And that's what happens with all of us. The more we get into these things, the more there is to know.
Mm-hmm.
So, I like Wayne Dyer, I like his writing. I cannot stand to hear him talk and watch him. Yeah, but he makes me too nervous. So there you have that. Christine, don't you have a question? No? Are you having difficulty with forgiving? Good.
Yeah, I mean, I really feel like sometimes I just feel like if people are doing difficult things or, you know, problematic, then it must be that I'm meant to learn how to stand up for myself or how to maneuver with that person in this plane of action.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a challenge, to say the least, sometimes.
Yes.
And but it's an opportunity to. Opportunity
to get better at my
diplomatic
skills and
yes,
so forth. But
definitely don't
want to
have unforgiveness.
No,
that's painful.
It is painful. We don't want that in our life. So we just have to make up your mind to forgive. I use the expression "forgive them, Father, for they knew not what they do." You know, and then I just let it go. But I work on it all the time. Forgiveness is one of the hardest things, I think, for myself personally, to understand what it does for you. You see? It does for you, not the other person. You know, they don't even know you. You don't have to be around them to forgive them. You know, but you have to let them go. Otherwise, they're clogging up your mind.
Decision to stop drinking turkey
time. Yes. And go back to whiskey.
If you like that better.
Yeah. Oh, everything's a choice and everything is, you know, I've done this too long. Now it's time to give it up. And some people don't give anything up throughout their life because they're so conditioned. And of course, if you watch TV and you go to movies and all that, all the emotions that those people have, we think, are ingrained, and you have to have those emotions. You have to be spiteful and bitter and jealous and all. You don't have to be any of that. You don't have to do any of that stuff. And if jealousy comes through, let it go right off and don't hang on to that stuff. We're always trying to clean out our own mind so we have a clear vessel to think with. Two people at once. Go ahead, Jerry.
Well, you'd mentioned resentments, I think, a minute ago.
Yeah.
Which I guess would be like the opposite of forgiveness. Can you talk a little bit more about resentments?
Oh, well, resentment is a horrible, horrible thing. Maybe a brother to unforgiveness, but you can't resent anybody. If you're resenting somebody, what are you doing? You're resenting God. You know, we're all God.
But what if someone resents you?
Don't worry about other people. If they resent you, let them have it, you know? Just let them have it. What people think about you is none of your business. Just let it go, you know? And people don't. Or they take everything personally. As soon as you take something personally, you're done in. You're done in. You have to remember those people would have did the same to anybody. They didn't pick you out to do it. That's the way they operate. That's their mode of operation. And they function in this world not well, but they don't know that either. You know, because they think that's what life's all about. Back to the earlier when I said suffering. We are the firm believers that we have to suffer. I take yoga, and every once in a while, the master will say, no pain, no gain. You see, I do not believe that. I do not believe that. He doesn't really believe that. He's conditioned. That's been done so long, he thinks it's true. And I don't think it's true. You do not have to suffer. You do not have to be in pain to gain something. That's like worrying. Some people think, oh, I didn't worry enough. That would have turned out differently if I had worried more. Well, that's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Do not do it to yourselves. See? It's just an easy way to go through life by seeing what your mind is doing to you. Remember, you are not your mind. Your mind is yours to use. And you must learn how to use it correctly. And sometimes it's difficult because it wants to fight you. And sometimes because everyone else is thinking in one direction and you think in a different direction, now you think, oh, I'm completely, I must be wrong. And if I do that now, I'm going to be isolated, you say. I don't care about being isolated, by the way. I sort of like it. It gives me peace, you see. And I certainly don't want to join those people that are doing all that just to fit in. No, I'm not that type of person that fits in. So, Andy, you had a question.
I think I have a problem with expectations or lack of expectations. Like, whenever I see something or I think about something, and I'm like, then I'll take some actions towards it or whatever, and then there'll be like this huge emotional soup of up and down because like it didn't work out like I thought it would, and like, you know, and like I'm still waiting and you know, so my question is like how do I advance my desires without playing this emotional up and down game.
Okay. First of all, it's never going to work out the way you want. Never. Nothing ever works out the way you want it. It works out in divine right order. And you have to remember that. So when you do that to yourself, say, look, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what's going on here. But I know you do. Meaning the universe or God, you take care of this for me. You do the work. But that up and down and all that, no. You don't want that in your life. But expectations gets people into all kinds of difficulty. And people think, when I say you can control your life, you can create your own reality, that is absolutely true. Absolutely true. But when you have expectations, you start to think it has to go in this direction. And it doesn't have to go in that direction. You will get what you want when you release it. Just let it go on its own. Make sense?
Yes, but what does that mean I need to do? Or what does that mean? It's like
nothing is what you need to do.
Take different actions, right? Take different actions.
Yeah.
You just have faith in your expectation of whatever happens. It might be your unpreferred choice or something that you never thought of. And it might be the best path. And that keeps you going in faith and helps dropping the anxiety all the time.
Regardless of how much expectation and how you can figure something out and you think, oh, that's the ultimate. You must realize that this thing called God can think of something even better for you. God can think of something even better for you. And that's what you want to start to see. God is taking care of me. God is seeing this through in a better way than I can. There's nothing wrong with your way, by the way. You see? But there's something better that our finite minds cannot grasp. And you have to realize that there's a mind, you see. Even Albert Einstein realized that there's something bigger than his mind. But we get stuck in thinking we know how, what's best for us. We don't know what's best for us. Does that help you? Yes, Jerry.
Does God have like a divine plan for all of us?
No, absolutely not.
A divine what?
Plan.
Oh.
That's like, what's God's will for me? Oh, hallelujah. That's a never-ending thing. God's will for you is good and greater good. That's what God's will is. It's not that you're going to be a dentist and you're going to be a doctor and you're going to be this, that, and the other thing. Good and greater good is what God wants for you. There is no plan. There is what we call divine right order, and we try to put ourselves in to the divine flow so that we're flowing with that mind of God. That makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
But that's an old thing left over from when you were a child. God's will, and you know, so it was good. Well, there's no such thing as destiny. It's like God's will, you know. People say it was God's will that these people died or something. No, God doesn't run around doing stuff like that. Destiny. Everyone has a destiny, but what is that destiny? I have no idea. But I do know that I'm always moving from my good to my greater good.
Isn't that left up to the individual person?
Absolutely.
Yeah. You can develop yourself to the highest level possible.
Yes.
And then there are others who are not interested and they just stay where they are.
And that's exactly right.
And it's not God's will, it's their will.
That's right. That's right.
Because isn't their will God's will? I mean, we're not separate, right?
But the will of God is for you to have good and greater good. And you must place yourself into that, if that's what you want to call will. You say, is your will, or is it God's will? If you are God, then it must be, your will must be God's will, and vice versa. But you have to use intelligence, you have to use wisdom for it, you say, with it.
What about my husband likes to say, oh, you got bad karma from past lives. That's what you're working out. And, you know, what's a bad karma?
When are you going to leave him?
You got the bad karma. And I'm stuck with you.
That's it. When are you going to leave him? Karma is a great thing, and people bring that up all the time in metaphysics. Karma. What do we know about karma in metaphysics? All karma is instant. If you do something and it turns out to be a mistake, that's your karma. Then what do you do about that? You say, oh, that didn't work. I'll try something different.
Next.
Yeah. I'll just try something different. But there's no big cosmic plan for the whole thing. No. We're doing it. We're creating everything with our mind.
There's no dark cloud following your
own. Oh, heavens, no. Wasn't that that comic guy? Didn't he always have a black cloud over his head? I can't remember. Was it a comic
strip? Yeah, I can't remember who.
I can't remember who that was. Gloomy, that's gloomers and doomers. We don't need that.
So, in other words, you're not punished if you did do something.
Oh, my good God. Oh, my.
God doesn't punish.
I left my glycerin pills in the car. You're never being punished. God is never punishing you. God is not sending you lessons. No. You're doing it to yourself. There's no punishment, people. People, that was a thing that the church invented to keep ignorant people in line. Do you remember? They could not read or write those people. Why do you think they have all the stained glass windows and all the religious art and so forth? Because people back then could not read. It was religion was the first form of propaganda. You see, they did all that stuff, the incense, the windows and everything else to advertise and to do this propaganda routine for the poor people who were living in hovels. Could you imagine? They couldn't wait for Sunday to go into a cathedral. They were living, you know, in dirt floors, for God's sake. So, that was all propaganda. And I'm not taking anything away from that. You know, I love churches and I love cathedrals. I just don't like what goes on in them, that's all. But they're beautiful architecture. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad they have the stained glass windows and all the religious art and so forth, you know. Beautiful things.
You know that one, he's on Channel 5, Goldstein?
Oh, yes, Joel.
Joel?
Oh, Joel Goldstein.
Yeah, I like listening to him.
Yes.
Whenever, you know,
he's easing into metaphysics.
Yes.
But
he just
was
doesn't know it yet.
In his,
pardon?
He was heckled.
Heckled?
Oh,
yeah,
of course.
By about 20 people.
Oh.
And
that's not
they
many.
Started a conversation about he's very wealthy, you know. He lives in a big house, but he's living like what he teaches.
Well, exactly. In my head, he has 6,000 members come every Sunday to that church.
You should see his church.
So
you should see
where
the
is it?
We went there.
Texas.
When we were in Texas. And
wow. Lakeview or something.
It's full. Yes. How many people does it hold,
6,000,
John?
6,000,
people?
No, 30.
Oh, 30,000.
Formerly basketball.
Right.
And it's full. And Joel Osteen is a conduit from traditional religion to metaphysics.
Yes. He's moving that way.
It's very metaphysical.
I have a book at his at home right now. I haven't opened it because I want to look into him. See what he's up to.
Very interesting.
He's beautiful. His wife is so beautiful. And
they have all the exteriors.
They live what they teach, right? Mm-hmm. They live what they teach. I mean,
as far as I can see.
I mean, he's, you know, very successful.
The church is, well, you see.
But people believe that he should not be living that way.
Oh, why do they do that? Because
he should not be living that way.
Right, and the Pope shouldn't wear jewelry.
Well, he should live in a hut.
And
with over 30,000 members of his church, he should live in a hut.
Conversations like that on places like Facebook, you know, all those people.
Oh, and I just think that's mean, hateful, and spiteful of those people.
I don't think
if you have money, then use it. God wants everyone to be rich. Everyone to be rich.
He wasn't like, what was that one preacher with the wife that world, that makeup?
The Bakers.
Who?
The Bakers.
Oh,
Tammy Baker.
Yeah.
Not Tammy Faye.
Jimmy Faye. Thank you.
Jimmy Faye.
But they were scam artists.
Yeah, they were.
Yes, that was different, right?
Oh, my God, that was horrible. They did everything wrong.
Pat Robertson, too.
Pardon?
Pat Robertson is a scam artist.
Oh!
No, they're not Joel Osteen's. And their message was not a Joel Osteen message. No. Joel Osteen's messages are very metaphysical.
Yeah.
Oh God, I am.
Although he talks a lot about, well, he talks about God, obviously, but he's very metaphysical.
Yes, and I think he'll eventually be even more so, because you have to, you know, there are a lot of priests, by the way, that are metaphysicians. But they can't do anything about it because they put themselves into a box. They cannot think past the rules of their church. They can think past them, but they have to get right back again.
Or get excommunicated like Matthew thought.
Yes.
But see, Joel, at the end of his service, he always says, read your Bible and the way he said it, but go to church, read your Bible, and you know, it's always some Christian thing,
right?
Believe in God.
Yeah, because it's a Bible based religion.
Yeah, it's a Bible based religion. It is.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
That's what he tells you. He gives you a short prayer and he says, well, if you say that prayer, we believe you got born again. Then he says, get in a good Bible based
church.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they don't want to give up the Bible.
No, he'd run half the people away. Because they come to church with their Bibles.
Oh, absolutely. There you go.
And they do this, right?
Don't they? We do it in my church, too.
What?
We get up and dance.
Oh, we boogie.
We boogie. We have a jazz band.
Nothing wrong with that,
right.
Yeah.
We have a good time.
Right. You like
let the spirit go.
Yeah. And we sing popular songs. Like Happy Terrell's.
Because for a minute or two, you can be free.
Anyway, I think he's a very good minister, and I hope he comes over to the metaphysician part of it more and more and more and more. Because we need that, especially when somebody can have all those people, you say 30,000 people on a Sunday come to, but it will be difficult, because if you're a Bible-based religion, then you must take the Bible almost literally. But that was actually what Jesus said in the 70 other things. In this teaching, we believe in everything that Jesus said, but very little that's been said about him. Very little that's been said about him. You know, did he walk across the water? Did he turn the wine into wine? Who knows? And my philosophy is, who cares?
Unless you're a wine drinker.
Well, yes, unless you want to have a vineyard. But it's not necessary to do that. It's not necessary. And this teaching doesn't tell you have to believe that stuff. You have to believe what you want and how you want to run your life and what are you thinking about life. Do you get up and say to yourself, this is a wonderful life I'm leading? I love this world. You see? This is a wonderful experience. Oh, I'm glad I'm having this experience. You know? When we move on to the next plane, I don't know what that experience will be like. I'm worried about what this experience is like. I want my life to be rid of all the nits and fleas. I don't want to participate in all that other stuff. I have, back in the land of Nod, people. I talked to my cousin. Her husband just was in the hospital, but they never could figure out what it was. She said, I'm so tired of driving my daughter for shock treatment. And I'm going, who are these people? Why do you live this way? You know? They have so many unnecessary problems, people. And, of course, they blame it on my daughter's this way because her grandparents were, you know, and this and this. So now they're back to genes and all that kind of stuff, you see. And I forget who the last person I talked to about genes, somebody from the land of Nod. And I said to them, have you ever heard of epigenetics? No, they never heard of that. They're
not interested.
They're not interested. They're stuck on, I can't fix myself because of my genes. You can fix yourself. I don't care what gene you have in your body. You can fix it. And we were going to start teaching that. Not me, but the world has to start because they're learning more and more scientifically that we can change these things. And we are not. You know, slated to have this the rest of our lives. So anyway, when I talk to those people back there, they have the most horrendous problems. My mind just goes, what do you mean? And who the hell in this day and age goes for shock treatments?
Shock treatment.
Now they call it something else.
I didn't know they did that anymore.
I know they don't. But they came back into vogue.
They and electrotherapy?
They call it electrotherapy. And it's damn right shock treatment. Oh, instead of giving them 30 volts, they only give them 20.
Oh,
good.
Horrible.
It is horrible.
It's so barbaric and antiquated.
It is. All of those things.
Yes. It's like the Inquisition, for God's sake. But they think that that neighborhood, the land of Nod, absolutely has faith in doctors. They absolutely have faith in psychiatrists. They have faith in anything outside of themselves. Mm. And you must have faith inside here. Have the faith, you see. I'll tell you this, when people say, I have faith in God. Well, that's quite all right. You may have faith in God. But you must have the faith of God. The faith of God. Not faith in God.
What does that mean, to have the faith of God?
What does it mean?
Mm-hmm.
You must have the same faith that God has.
What does that mean? What do you mean by that? You mean you're saying like
I have
all
the same
knowing as God is all knowing?
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes. You must have that faith. If you're going to say all that I am is God, but I'm not all that God is, then you must have the faith. Mm-hmm. And that's another thing. You just keep working on it till it happens in your mind. Just it'll happen. You have to change your mind. And you have to get out of the conditioning that you've been put yourself. The world conditioned you. Your parents conditioned you. The schools you went to conditioned you. You see? All conditioning.
Certainly
is. Yeah. And what do you... You're conditioned to be a good wife. And marry one husband and all that kind of stuff.
Well, that's what I learned. That's what my parents did.
Mine didn't.
Condition.
I didn't get that from my parents.
Good.
When you were talking about
if you develop yourself, be the best person you can be, whatever that is. Mine was through education. Others have other talents that they develop themselves. My friend here is an actress and a writer. She's developed herself that way. And it's up to each and every one of us to reach the highest plane we can possibly be. And that means to constantly work on yourself, inside and out, and be the best person you can be. That's what I mean.
And do it with kindness.
Mm-hmm.
Always do everything with kindness. That's what we're learning to be. We're learning to be kind to ourselves. And then once we learn the kindness here, we can be kind to other people. Make sense? Yeah.
Another thing I was thinking, I feel that you can't go through life doing something you absolutely dislike doing. Like a lot of people have jobs that they hate. There are relationships that aren't working. There are a whole list of things. And my thing is to be the best person you can be.
Be the best person you can be. And that thing that people think they have to take that job and they have to stick with it for 30 years or 40 years or whatever they do. And they come home every night and have a beer and beat the wife or something. Ridiculous, and they think that's what life is, and that repeats itself constantly, especially in small towns.
Yeah, big towns too.
Well, big towns.
I see that about myself.
Yeah.
And it is conditioning, and it's fear. Right?
Absolutely.
You gotta walk away, walk out into the street, and just say, "I'm leaving this behind me."
Yeah.
Where do you go?
The mind tries to hold you back. But go out on the street, it'll all come back to you.
But to bring back something you said earlier, but still in that situation where you're not happy with your job, maybe you really hate your job, should you still try to be grateful for the things that you have?
Absolutely. Now, if you're in a job that you do not like, the best way to work yourself out of a job is to work yourself into the job. You have to work yourself into the job. As soon as you work yourself into the job, somebody's going to notice and say, geez, look at that person. I could use him over here. I could give him. That's what it's all about. But many people go to work and they hate their job and then they hate everything else. You know, I don't know how some of these companies keep going with their employees. The employees are sabotaging them all the time.
That's true.
You have to love all the time. Love everything. Love what you do, you see. And you don't have to do things. How many people pick, they say, I'm going to be a lawyer, I'm going to be a doctor because there's money there.
And what?
Money. Because of the money. You know, when I go to a doctor, I say to him, do you really want this or are you in it for the money? Mm-hmm. And he says, oh, I took the job because I make lots of money. I said, well, I'll go to the next one.
Right.
Yeah, I'll go to the next doctor. I don't want a doctor that's in it for the money. Money will come always. If you love what you're doing, the money will come.
Come and go.
Well, that's what it's for. It's circulating constantly. Yes.
That's what it's for.
But do you think it's useful, like when I'm driving the child that I take care of, I pretend like I'm in this Rolls Royce.
Yes.
I'm beautiful. I look like a
yes.
Beautifully dressed, jewelry. You know, and I feel great. I feel rich.
Good.
And behind me is, you know, I'm bringing a painting to a very wealthy collector. I love doing that, you know. But
well, keep doing it.
You think it's good?
I think it's
great idea. I mean,
I think it's very good, and keep doing it. Start believing in it and know that you're creating a reality.
Yeah. Just in that moment, it's reality.
What was the whole 70s, I think it was, the human potential moment, movement. What was their...
The love ends.
Their, what was their slogan? All of those seminars.
Free love.
No.
They were. It was always fake it till you make it.
Yeah, fake it till you make it.
That was the 70s. Was all about faking it till you make it.
Yeah, I go back before the 70s.
Me too.
So you can do all these things, people. Be kind to yourself, be kind to everybody else. Know that your mind is the thing that you have to work on. It's nothing else but mind. Everything is mind. And once you realize that, you can bring other things into your life that you've never thought possible. But it's done with the mind. And it's wonderful, and so are you, and so am I. And there ends the lesson. Thank you.
Thank you.